to Expounded Universe, Season 9, Episode 13, Hot Golden Showers of Force. The book, Crucible, by Troy Denning. The year, 2013. With your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go!
Welcome, welcome, one and all, back to Expounded Universe. I'm your host, Jeff, joined as always here in the studio by my co-host and good friend, John.
Hey, I'm here in the studio.
Yeah, and this is the Star Wars discussion new wave podcast, whatever.
That's right, it's the new wave podcast.
We're here to talk about Expanded Universe novels and the Eurythmics. John, how you doing these days with all your catching up on Erasure listening? You think you've heard enough Erasure songs?
I think I have heard enough Erasure songs, if I'm being completely honest.
I've listened to so many Erasure songs that they've covered up the sun and the birds have flown away.
Weird.
That was a reference to a specific Erasure song.
Great.
Or maybe it's the Eurythmics. I don't know.
I mean, I have no idea.
My verbal typo of saying new wave is, I don't have a whole deep reserve of jokes ready. I guess maybe...
This wasn't something I had on the pipeline.
I guess I can move into like the Pet Shop Boys. I don't know. What else is like real new wavy?
I don't know, man.
Last time I read a review of the Aquabats, it said that they had moved from ska to new wave punk.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know if that... I don't think you could just say new wave about whatever.
Sure you can.
I mean, is new metal just new wave metal?
No. There's a difference between new metal and new wave metal.
Okay. And is it the new is spelled differently between the two? Is that the only difference?
That is true, yes. Okay. And one has more waves.
Have you ever seen the movie... I'm sorry, we're off topic. And we will get back to the topic at hand at some point. I know you're all very excited about the conclusion of this, you know, seven-year-old Star Wars novel.
The very end of Crucible.
Did you ever see Queen of the Damned?
No.
So I've been reading about it recently, and I had read that Stuart Townsend is the guy who plays Lestat in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taking the Brad Pitt role from the first movie.
Mm-hmm. That would be Tom Cruise.
Thank you. Sorry, the Tom Cruise role from the first movie. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
But apparently, because it's not just Queen of the Damned, but also the vampire Lestat is part of the novel as well. There's the part where he starts his own rock band. and the voice double for Stuart Townsend in the film is
Townsend.
Better. Jonathan Davis.
What?
Lead singer of Korn.
Yeah, no, I know who the lead singer of Korn is.
I'm
Come
explaining
on, Jeff.
It to the listeners. I would never besmirch your Korn knowledge.
Thank you.
Okay.
I am a mighty warrior.
But Korn is no place for a mighty warrior.
That's why I'm not in Korn.
I guess that's why you know to avoid them, yeah. But no, apparently the band The Vampire Lestat in the movie plays new metal, and they use Jonathan Davis as their voice double for Stuart Townsend singing.
All right.
Now I really want to see it. I love the idea that what finally woke Lestat up after all those years was the, you know, the angry, emo-y, screechy sounds of new metal.
That's
oh, this appeals to me.
This is what really gets my motor revved. I'm the vampire Lestat.
Bruce Springsteen did nothing for me, but the sultry sounds of Trapped.
Hey, Trapped is great. Don't besmirch Trapped.
I will besmirch Trapped. Trapped has decided to be Chuds.
That's true.
Trapped on Twitter right now is Chudsing as hard as they can.
It's very sad, because I would go to bat for Trapped beforehand, because I really liked everything that on their album that wasn't Headstrong.
Well, now you found out that Trapped will go to bat for Trump.
Yeah, it's a goddamn shame. You hate to see that happen to such a notable and wonderful band as Trapped.
Yeah, for example, I love their big song, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And the other big Trapped hit, My Own Summer, I think it's called.
I don't even know what that one's supposed to reference.
It's the Deftones.
Okay.
Come on. How much new metal do we know?
I don't know that I put Deftones in new metal.
I think you have to. I don't think I do. If you've heard the song My Own Summer, you'd be like, Jesus Christ. I mean, yes, granted, they have a couple albums from before new metal really hit that are completely different sound, but My Own Summer is a new metal song. I mean, there is no lying. There is no getting around it.
That's fine.
It's a new metal song.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call Deftones a new metal band.
Fine. I mean, can I make Fuel jokes instead?
Sure.
I'm so much more up to speed on new metal than I am on new wave. I'm in my element right now.
Ah, finally.
I managed to drag it around to one of the two genres of music I'm prepared to talk about.
Ska and new metal.
That's it. Kill me. Okay, so John, in these last two chapters of Crucible, the last book of the... Did you read the epilogue, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I wasn't sure if we wanted to talk about the epilogue today or not.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, very good. These last two chapters begin with Luke descending into what's
chaos.
Probably... Yeah. Luke descending into what's probably the center of the monolith artifact.
Well, yeah, because last time we ended with Han and Leia going after Marvid and the big head version of Vistara.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also the floating but already definitely mostly dead body of Kratheus.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we got to finish these people off because we've just let them go in there. They'll come back with... I don't know, force powers like that one Mandalorian did. So
yeah. Plus, Kratheus really needs a miracle at this point because he's really only almost mostly dead. So this is a great chance to
You're
get
right.
Him.
All he does need is a miracle.
Okay, so the those three have descended already, and then Han and Leia have gone after them, and we are following Luke, who's the last one in.
Yeah. So this chapter starts and continues with being... mostly sort of a weird psychedelic version of things.
Yeah, much like Crystal Star, this one's going to end on a psychedelic ghost shooting shit at other ghosts dream sequence.
I mean, honestly, this was way better than floating around in Dinty Moore like the end of Crystal Star, because that wasn't so much like, oh, weird psychedelic stuff as it was like,
meat.
I'm in meat space and over there someone's like, hey... Why don't you get into this black hole? And I was like, maybe.
Check out these rad golden shields. Here we are in the meat dimension. Watch out. Those three hams will kill you.
Oh, no. I got distracted in the meat dimension. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. So in this case, instead, it's, you know, psychedelic brain trip shit that's happening.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's the rest of the book.
Yeah. Well, the rest of this chapter.
Yeah, I would say also most of the next chapter.
I wouldn't.
Okay, well, that's fair. When we get to the next chapter, we can have that argument. And in fact, I think we might fight about it.
Let's fight about it.
We're going to...
Let's fists.
I have come prepared to put punches down.
I have prepared come.
Yeah. Luke's descending into a big black space full of pillars and shadows. Off in the distance, I found this kind of interesting, but off in the distance, he can already see what is very obviously Han and Leia going on ahead of him.
Yeah.
Like, from the moment he lands, he's like, well, those two glowing lights are probably Han and Leia, so I guess I know that.
Yeah. And at first, you know, when he's going in there, the terrain around him is generally like it was outside. He's like, oh, it's just sort of like a black marble floor with some... big pillars and whatnot. Mm. And it just sort of looks like he stepped inside a monolith going from where he was just sort of normally.
Yeah, it makes sense, basically. Although it does mention that he falls a long time to hit the ground. It's just that he doesn't fall very fast.
Yeah.
Whether that's his own force powers controlling the speed of his descent or if it's just that, you know, this room is built for you to fall into it.
Whatever it is, as soon as he starts going after the two lights that he assumes are Han and Leia... everything starts getting real where the wild things are.
It's very like first three chapters of Alice in Wonderland.
And all the white pillars start turning into like white trees.
Yeah, and darkness, the shadows become forested shadows. And then suddenly the Momraths show up and outgrabe.
I've been outgrabed.
Come on down to Discount Hetty's Momraths. We will not be outgrabed. We will match web grabes.
Web grabes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm. You know, I'm not going to keep talking. Those grabes were probably sour anyway.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Did you have everything you needed?
There we go.
What else? What else indeed? he gets the sense that there are dark forces watching him There's shadows that skitter around just outside of his vision. And
at this point, it's still mostly just like, oh, I think something is wrong. Because, like, he might think, oh, I think I can hear something whispering, but if I stop and try to listen to it, there's nothing. And, you know, the shadows are moving, and sometimes I'll think I can see eyes, but then I look and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of being standard creepy for now, whereas later it just gets overtly creepy.
Yeah, these two chapters end on a highly Cronenbergian note, which is kind of a neat thing for Star Wars.
Yeah, it's a very interesting way to go.
Yeah. I mean, granted, this book has done that a lot. It's kind of surprised us with introductions to genres that Star Wars would otherwise not touch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once again, kudos to Troy Denning for surprising us on a number of occasions with a classic EU novel.
Indeed. I was not expecting Crucible to really go heavy into the fucking body horror,
yeah,
but it does.
It very much does. So, yeah, Luke is making his way through this kind of horrifying shadow dimension. And I believe at a certain point he spots what's probably Marvid, but because we switch perspectives to Marvid.
Well, yeah, because what happens is he's running real fast to try and catch up to Han and Leia, and it's at that point that he's like, oh, I'm very close to them, but I can sense something dark behind me.
Right, and then that's the point where a red lightsaber ignites behind him, and then we switch to Han and Leia's perspective for a second, and then they also get a lightsaber light up behind them.
Well, yeah, because what's going on is he gets close to them, but before he can actually join in, he gets jumped by Big Head Mode Vistara.
I don't even remember, did they give her a name or not?
No, it's just Vistara, but with Kalumi Head.
Yeah, were they calling her Savara 2, I think was her official name? Yeah, but we've started calling this anybody by this face appearance Vistara at this point, because that's the original.
Well, I mean, that's how Luke thinks of her at this point.
So Big Head Mode Savara or Vistara Kai comes jumping out and attacking him with her red force lightsaber.
And Luke's just like, oh, I mean, yeah, you've got power, but you're all just anger and no finesse at all. So you're just sort of swinging a lightsaber like a baseball bat.
Oh, I've done this before. This is like fighting my shitty emo dad. I'm up to speed here.
All right. Well, great.
But just gonna baseball bat swing it like a kid who should not be let into LARP combat.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
She's like, I got nothing but raw power behind me. And he's like, yo, hey, kid, I'm fucking Luke Skywalker. Let me just get you away from me real quick and whoops-a-daisies.
So he uses a force blast to kind of push her back so he can sort of square up for the fight. But it turns out that force blasts inside of the monolith are a little extra forcey, like a lot extra forcey. Like, it pulls the flesh from her bones and leaves her just a metal skeleton that crumbles to the ground.
Yeah, so this is where we find out that as soon as he opens himself up to the force, he's like, oh, this entire place where we are is just concentrated force energy. Because the second he tries to do anything, it's just like, yeah, here's all the energy.
Yeah.
Here's every single bit of power. Yeah. Here you go.
So he shoots a force blast at her with the intent to just sort of knock her backwards, and instead melts her into nothingness immediately.
Yeah, just, like, in my mind, I imagined it pushing so hard that all of her flesh flew off. And then just left the skeleton standing there, confused for a second.
It's definitely the scene from which Terminator movie, 2?
Oh, I was picturing more of a cartoon.
Oh, okay, that's
also
fair.
When, like, a character gets scared and their flesh jumps off the skeleton? That's what I'm imagining. Some real Tex Avery shit.
No, I'm picturing the Sarah Connor shaking the fence and watching her kid get evaporated by
a okay.
Nuke. Yeah, and then there's just a skeleton there for a second.
Yeah.
That's 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm properly remembering
that's
my Terminator.
That's the Judgment Day.
Good. I'm glad to see that my Terminator memory is from one of the two good ones.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's that one in Dark Fate.
I think obviously.
All of us can agree.
We can all agree on that one. It was Terminator 2 and Genesis.
Those two good ones. The best two. Also the music of Korn.
And the delicious musical stylings of Korn.
The vegetable, not the band. It's with a C.
Yeah, that's why it was delicious.
Yes,
yeah,
delicious delicious vegetal stylings of Korn.
So at this point, Luke has a second where he's like, ooh, damn. Okay, one, yikes. Two, okay, now I get the whole dark side thing, because, man, that was just real easy, and it would be so easy to go, oh, I should just do that all the time.
I like that he has a brief moral quandary where he's like, ah, shit, I just used the force to kill. And then he moves on from it very, very quickly, which to me suggests he's like, oh, but it doesn't matter because I'm the ultimate authority on whether or not you can be the dark side or the light side of force people. So I'm just going to sweep that under the rug. And there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of it is intent. Like, he didn't intend to kill her.
No. He got a lot more force than he bargained for and just immediately murderated her. And he looks down at himself at this point and realizes that he is glowing like a flashlight. Like,
yes.
His whole body is just glowing like a big flashlight, except for one spot around his heart where apparently at some point in a previous book, Abeloth stuck her hand in there.
Yeah.
And just sort of rooted around.
Just got up in his guts, yes, and rooted around in there.
Danced around up in his guts.
So, yeah, I guess that's his dark side wound,
mm-hmm,
does not glow, but the rest of him does.
Yeah. Basically, Luke is like a microcosm version of Dagobah the planet. Like, there's one little dark side cave on him. And if you go in there, you'll have to fight a dude who actually has your face.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you go inside Luke Skywalker, you got to fight a dude that has your face.
Uh-huh. That's just how it works. That's the thing about,
while you're inside him.
The thing about the Force, John, is that it's technically a Mandelbrot set. So it's like fractal. It's just Dagobah's all the way down.
Dagobah's hard.
And Dagobah's all the way up.
Dagobah out, Dagobah down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so he's just like, shit, well, that's not good. And then he looks down and sees that he's glowing, and there's all kinds of problems with him, and then he hears the whirring up of power body weaponry and so on.
Yeah. Now, Leia and Han heard the nonsense going on with Luke,
mm-hmm,
but they have problems of their own.
Mm-hmm. They also have a power body problem.
Yeah, they got power bodies, mm-hmm, and they're coming real quick.
Yep. And basically, we're setting up for all three of them to have to, on their own, fight Marvin and Kratheus.
Yeah. Because one of them is essentially just chasing after Leia,
mm-hmm,
shooting a bunch of missiles and nonsense. And they are pincered by Marvin on one side and Kratheus's still floating and shooting body on the other side.
Yeah, and it 2-on-3 isn't really what happens here. The first thing that happens is that Luke just gets wrecked by a pincher attack from Marvin and Kratheus.
Oh, yeah, they just shoot all the weapons at him.
Yeah, and he manages to get pinned down for a while and be relatively safe, but then one of them manages to get in a bullet. They literally fire a gun with bullets at him.
Which is the best thing to do against a Jedi, because he's like, oh yeah, he deflects all the laser blasts, but the second it starts shooting shrapnel at him,
mm-hmm,
he just kind of goes, ah, shit.
So he gets hit in the shoulder blade, and it goes in under... The other thing I like about this book, by the way, is that it does not shy away from fucking up the heroes.
Oh, they get wrecked constantly in this book.
So he gets hit under the back shoulder, the back of his shoulder blade by a shrapnel hit. This spins him out into an area where he's an open target. He tries to force leap, but while force leaping, gets hit two more times in the neck.
Well, yeah, because when he got hit in the shoulder, that was his lightsaber hand.
Mm-hmm.
So he dropped the lightsaber, so he can't even deflect anymore. He is just a sitting duck.
So he gets hit twice in the neck, the force of which slams him into one of them white trees that's all over the place in here, and then he just slumps down and collapses. And now it's time for Luke and Leia, or Han and Leia, to get into a battle royale with these two power bodies.
Yeah. Now, Han runs over to Luke and is like, oh, shit!
What the good lord, okay, you're gonna be all right, you're gonna be okay. And he starts, like, doing med kit stuff.
He's like, I'm gonna get a big old Bacta bandage, and I'm gonna put it on your neck, and there's eyes in your neck wounds. That's weird. I'm not going to mention that because that might freak you out.
Yeah, it turns out that Luke's two big shrapnel holes in Luke's neck both have eyes in them, which are frantically blinking to try to get the blood that's dripping on them out of them.
Yeah.
And Han's just like, well, that can't possibly be good.
Well, let's just, you know what? I'm going to cover that up in a bandage and we will put a pin in that.
There we go, Luke. All right. We're not going to talk about that again. And that's when he starts getting messed up by attacks from Kratheus. Kratheus comes spiraling out of the jungle, very clearly still unconscious, but it doesn't seem to matter very much.
No, it's just power body is on attack mode.
Yeah.
And so Leia goes past him and he's like, look, I'll take the one that's on this side. You take the one that's on that side. That way we don't have to try and, like, I don't know, deal with a pincer all at one. If we go after one and one, at least we can try something.
Yeah, so Vistara earlier in a previous chapter had used Kratheus as a personal shield. She yanked him in front of blaster fire from a YVH droid and Ben Skywalker. So he is pincushioned and very nearly dead. But at this point, his pincushion has turned literal as all the bullet wounds in him have healed into big sharp spikes sticking out of his face.
Yeah, he's got
all kinds of crazy shit
just
going on.
Some stuff happening, like one of his arms that got blasted off is just sort of a tentacle at this point.
He has a tail for an arm and an arm for a leg, and that's what happened to Kratheus McGreg.
Yeah, he is looking all weird and mutated.
I did like that he has an abdominal tear abdominal wound that now has lips. Like, it isn't healing closed, it's healing by developing big lips around the wound.
Yeah, it's just like, we'll just turn that into a mouth. That's
mouth
what that
now,
is, right?
That's got to scream a little, there we go. So yeah, he is healing all kinds of wrong and nasty, but it doesn't appear to have woken him up exactly. So Han skitters out of his way and puts yet more blaster bolts into him, and it does nothing.
Oh yeah, he just blasts a ton of shots into the brain of this Kalumi. Nothing happens. And at this point, like, I have to go, hey, Han, you have to know what an automated, like, machine is.
I know,
You've dealt with droids and, like, kill bots and shit like that. Quit shooting the dead body and try and fuck up the actual machine.
Here's the thing. The power body never did anything wrong to Han. He really doesn't like Kratheus. Gotta shoot that Kratheus.
Ugh. And it, you know, he does his best.
Yeah.
Because he's like, all right, let's try and shoot some stuff into this power body, but
he eventually gets it done.
I mean, it's vanilloy, so a lot of the shit that he's shooting at it just kind of bounces off.
Yeah, but eventually it shoots a missile at him, and he faints and jumps the other direction, and the missile doesn't hit him, and the backwash knocks parts off the power body, and then he manages to put enough shots into it that it flies into a tree and blows up.
Yeah.
And it crashes on the ground, and he's like, okay, that's got to be done now. Even if Kratheus isn't dead, he's a Kalumi. He can't get up and come after me. he's got little tiny shitty legs.
He's got baby legs.
He's got these baby. He needs a regular legs, and I think Luke already killed her. Meanwhile, Leia is in some sort of missile fight with
yeah.
Marvin.
She, unlike Han, who is like, the way that it gets described really puts me in mind of essentially Han Solo playing like Dark Souls, where it keeps saying he shoulder rolls.
Yeah.
And I'm just imagining him like, and a roll, and a roll, and a roll, and I shoot, and a roll, and a roll.
He's in year one of Aikido training.
He's just constant shoulder rolls.
Welcome to week three of Aikido training, white belts with two yellow tips. Today you'll be doing rolls for an hour and a half until your moms pick you up.
Let's shoulder roll across the room. We're going to do shoulder sprints.
We're doing shoulder rolls and then back shoulder rolls all day long.
So at least Leia is doing full-on, like, spinny flip Jedi nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because Marvin is actually conscious?
He's not just conscious, but he also he's a little ahead of the game on how this all works. So he has control over an extra arm and so on that he's keeping a secret from her right now. He's a much more dangerous foe than radio-controlled Kratheus.
Well, yeah, because the power body was basically just a dangerous weapon coming for Han, whereas this is a fully in control and definitely dark-sided up Marvid.
Yeah. So he's shooting missiles and all kinds of stuff at her, but eventually what he catches her with is like a shockwave generator that pulses right into her gut and just tears her stomach open and sends her spinning backwards. And she is just, she's doubled over, bleeding out from her gut on the ground.
Well,
but
first, they go back and forth and do that, but she manages to lightsaber essentially across the neck and down the body of the power body and Marvid.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that is how she takes that stomach blast. She's just like, all right, well, I'm going to take a point blank shot from you, but I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, so she manages to carve him more or less in half, but he's extended a gross new arm to try and hit her with, and she's sliding along his new weird meat arm, which has to be from a previous wound he took, and he's just like, whatever, I know how this works. I've got three arms now. Fuck it. But she manages to deeply wound him. Power body goes hovering off into the jungle, and she collapses, doubled over and bleeding out from her stomach. And now all three of our heroes are lying there, barely conscious, bleeding to death. And Han's like, wait, feels like I've been bleeding out for like 12 hours.
Yeah, this is a thing that is going to just happen a little too much, where everyone's like, I don't understand how time works anymore. And they'll just keep mentioning, like, has it been minutes or days? I can no longer tell. And Han is having this just sort of, I'm in so much pain that it seems to have consumed my entire life to the point where I don't know. I think I may have been in pain for weeks. But also, I can hear Leia in pain. And he's like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, he has a whole Rosencrantz and Guildenstern moment where he thinks to himself, like, am I dead? Is this death? Oh, wait, shit. Is death just that you replay the last thing that happened to you for eternity? That fucking sucks.
That would blow ass. I'd way rather have my eternity be, you know, memories of hanging out with Leia.
Oh, yeah, that would be better.
And where, you know, we had kids and... Or maybe, you know, that time where we boned a lot, you know, that would be a good memory to have for all eternity. Instead, I think I just get to experience forever as, ow, my most of me.
Oh, no, you get to spend eternity dying in a forest. Suck it up, Han. That's what happened to Lax Sivrak. Don't see him complaining.
No, we don't.
He just keeps jumping around all Billy Pilgrim unstuck in time and fucking a big eel. And what are you doing with your
What are you doing?
These are all references to the Mos Eisley Cantina series. If you're a new listener, go check those out.
Yeah.
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 Yes. I don't want you to be bored while you're stuck in your houses throughout this, you know, apocalypse that we're living through right now.
But it is the wounding of Leia, really, that gets Han going.
Yeah, he kind of...
Oh, it really gets him going.
And he's not comfortable with this new discovery about himself.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, Leia hurts getting me revved up? This isn't good.
Oh, no.
I need to talk to someone about this. Not Leia. That's the first thing.
And that's when the dark spirits start showing up and are like, hey, we see you're in a lot of pain. You know, we could heal you if you want.
Mm-hmm.
We could, just get right up in there.
Yeah, now this is interesting to me because I'm still trying to determine whether or not this big building that they're in is just raw force or if it's dark side full as well. It seems like it's dark side full.
It seems like it's just pure force.
Yeah.
And there are some dark side spirits here.
Yeah, see, those two things feel like they would work at odds with each other. Like there's a couple of dark side random spirits. There's a point where they're even trying to figure out whether the dark side spirits are just random developments and eddies in the force chaos, or if dark side ghosts died here a long time ago.
Yeah.
And no one knows for sure. But anyway...
Because this isn't pure light side. This is just pure force.
Yeah, it's just force all up in here. So spirits pop up next to Han like, hey, we could heal her. And he's like, what would it cost me? And they're like... It would be a small price to pay for Froggy Cheer. Memes. They don't answer. He just goes, yeah, what would that cost? And they just kind of skitter back off into the darkness.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, when they offer to fix him, he's like, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
But when they finally offer to fix Leia, he's like, ah, shit. That's way more tempting. But also, I've lived with Force users for the past, like, 35 years, and I know that if I let you do that, then my wife would actually be gone and I'd probably also die and be gone.
Because
when something turns to the dark side, you don't just lose that person. You basically lose everything around them.
Yes. Yeah. He has a son who went to the dark side. He has a lot of bad experiences with this, and I'm sure he does not want to see that repeated.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, absolutely no, nothing from you guys. Get the shit out of here. What the fuck? And they scatter again.
Fuck directly off.
Yeah. So he goes to Leia, and Leia is, you know, doubled over on the ground in pain, but she looks up at him, and I'm trying to remember, she sees something horrifying behind him. And I think it's more, is it Luke? Luke?
I mean,
is it Luke?
Is it Luke?
Luke?
No. Pretty much Han, like, one-leggedly pushes his way across the ground to her.
Yeah, it takes him forever just to roll over. He's very, very nearly dead.
And eventually, in his mind, he's telling the spirits to go away, and he finally manages to say, go away.
Right.
And that's what kind of, like, knocks her out of it, is Han actually speaking. And it turns out that, you know, Luke is kind of almost awake. Like, he's sort of stumbling as well.
Yeah, he's up and looking around. But he is also, he's glowing and luminous, and it looks like he might not be a guy anymore.
But the big problem that Han has is there's fire.
There's
exploded
fire.
Power bodies have started a wall of fire around them.
Yes.
So, like, by the time Han even gets to his knees, he's like, okay, this is a 2-meter tall wall of fire around us.
Mm-hmm.
Guys? Hey,
well,
guys?
I mean, luckily, that seems to be the thing that kind of kicks Luke off.
Luke. Luke goes full Super Saiyan in this.
Yeah, both of them do. Both of our Jedi inside here just are like, oh, I get it. Hold on, let me turn into a golden ghost.
Yeah, and both of them are super ultra shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Leia manages to get up way faster than Han because she's like, oh, I've got super force abilities.
Yeah.
And the second she touches Han, he's like, oh, hey, super force powers. Neat.
Yeah.
I feel way better already.
And here comes a good part for Luke to explain what he thinks is going on, because here's the thing. Everyone looks fucked up now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, Leia's got, like, armor instead of skin in all the spots where she got injured.
She basically looks like, I'm going to say, the Thing.
Yeah, she's got pebbly, cracked skin. She all the parts of her that just got blown open are now covered in new, pebbly skin.
And Han's midsection that got blown open has a translucent membrane now.
Yeah, he's got...
So you can just see his insides.
Yeah, he's got a see-through stomach and a Wookiee leg.
Yeah, and he looks down to his injured leg, and it is indeed super hairy.
He's like, oh, shit, I got a Wookiee leg. Sweet.
I got Wookiee leg and see-through stomach. This is a weird time for me.
Hey, can I go home? I feel like I need to call in sick. I got a Wookiee leg.
You've got Wookiee leg.
Wookiee leg isn't enough of an excuse. You're going to need a doctor's note. I also have see-through stomach. Oh, okay, yeah.
Both of those together.
That's why I never tell anybody why I'm sick when I'm calling in sick. I just say I've got poop problems. And they're never like, follow-up question.
Yeah, the point at this is Luke pretty much goes like, hey guys, I hate to, you know, break up the moment of you two getting back together again and you just shoving force power into Han, but we gotta go and regroup. And Han's like, regroup from what?
And for what? Like, what's the point? We definitely killed the Krefts.
Like, maybe I didn't see Marvid go down, so maybe he's crawling around somewhere, but I have put every hole into Kratheus.
Yeah, and Luke's like, yeah, but look what's happening to us. We are healing way faster than normal, and we're healing weird and wrong. It's raw or undirected force energy is coursing through us and healing us, and it isn't doing a very good job.
Yeah, because this isn't like a Jedi Force trance where you're like, oh, I'm going to channel the Force energy into my body to make me regenerate. Is at least controlled by a mind, whereas this is just like, I'm healing you. Into what? Whatever.
Doesn't matter. New stuff.
Here.
Have a see-through stomach and a Wookiee leg.
Oh, it seems like there's a hole missing. Let's just put something there.
Put a mouth on it. Whatever. Luke, by the way, had a lot of abrasions and gunshot wounds in his head and neck. They have been replaced with golden reptile scales, which is interesting because, again, it's kind of a Waru reference. Luke's a meat suit covered in golden scales now. What happened?
Yeah, it's just real weird nonsense, but that's the point where Luke's like, all right, well
it's
these
just,
guys are definitely still alive.
Yeah, because if it's healing us, it's healing them. And here's the thing, Han, I know just a minute ago, ghosts offered you the chance to be healed because they did it to me as well. The Kratheus, or the Krefts, said yes.
Yeah, they for sure were like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they were in here for in the first place. So there's no way they said no. So they're probably fully healed and jacked up on dark side force powers.
Yeah, they're all whacked out on goof juice right now.
And they've got a brand new Edgar suit.
Yeah.
Someone brought them sugar in water.
So they push, like, force blast the fire away so they can walk through. And that's when they see the Kreff brothers walking away, not in a power body, just their weird, two shriveled nonsense bodies walking along under their own power. And I got to admit, that's got to be one of those things where you're like, ew, ew, creepy, weird. Like, yeah, I know I have a see-through stomach. That's weird, but ew.
I mean, that's like the first time you see Jonas Venture Jr. He's like, oh, he's got like a chicken dinner for a left arm.
Yeah, so they are walking away, and they're sort of the opposite of what Luke and Leia are, because they're glowing super gold, whereas the Krefts are shrouded in darkness.
Yes.
So, you know, so shit.
So Luke and Leia are like, oh, goddammit, we're going to have to go have some sort of Super Saiyan Jedi ghost fight with the Krefts. So here's the thing, Han. We need you to stay back and be our reserve member on this one. And he's like, no.
Reserve? That's bullshit. And they're like, my dude, like, just hands together, son, let me tell you something. We're both at, like, power level 9,000 right now. You're Yamcha. You need to get the fuck out.
Well, I'm, like, at power man 9,000.
No more new metal.
Well, it's power man 5,000 anyway. Yeah, okay, so Han fights them for a long time, and that's pretty much the first third of chapter 26. It's just Han being like, listen here, you numb nuts, I'm definitely getting into this fight. I'm not going to let Leia get killed, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, dude,
it still isn't even 26 25? Yet.
Fine, whatever, it doesn't matter. That is what happens, though, is a long conversation where they have to gently talk him down.
Yeah, they're like, no, man, here's the deal. We're ridiculously powerful. The Krefts are ridiculously powerful.
And we're going to go have an Akira fight with them, where we're shooting bits off each other, but regenerating faster than the bits are getting shot off.
So what I need from you is to not die.
Okay, here's our thing. We're going to go have the Kaneda Tetsuo mutate fight. Here's a motorcycle. You try to do that turn move. Go ahead.
Just practice that.
Just do that. That's your job. That's your job here. We're cool heroes. You're one of those creepy old babies from the same movie, okay?
Creepy old babies.
Remember how Akira has like three floating ghosts?
No, I've never seen Akira.
Oh, okay. Well, then the people who have are like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Creepy old babies.
Floaty old babies. Right. I remember those. Except they're mad at me because I'm not describing what they are correctly.
So we haven't really mentioned it, but also the terrain has been shifting the entire time as well.
Oh, yes.
Because, like, it started out as a forest, and then it kind of went into a jungle, and now when they're chasing after the Krefts, it's a desert.
Yeah, they're on, like, rocky desert, and there's a opening that the Krefts are heading towards. Just sort of a big pond that's vertically standing up in the area, and they're like, that's got to be the way out. And if they get out, they're just going to go wreak dark side havoc all over the galaxy.
Yeah, because, I mean, just them by themselves were already wreaking ridiculous havoc. If it's the Kalumi and they've got dark side power, then it's just going to be them being eviler.
I think that the thing in chapter 26 that is my all-time favorite bit is the fact that the dark side things that have taken over the Kalumi are smarter than the Kalumi. But anyway, so Luke and Leia are like, all right, well, let's do this thing. And then they, like, warp over there with force jumping.
Well, yeah, because they're like, all right, let's chase after them. They're very far away. God damn it. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to latch on with the force to their force signatures and just yank as hard as I can.
Yeah. And basically, he causes everyone to fly together.
Yeah.
And then a melee ensues.
The Krefts at this point have super force lightning, so they're shooting all their ridiculous power lightning out.
But luckily, in a new development for Jedi in this universe, both Leia and Luke can shoot golden liquid Kamehamehas.
I mean, not yet, because there's a whole bunch of shit that happens
I know. It's a big force fight for a long time.
Oh, yeah, because Luke at one point gets ultra force choked?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the first thing that happens. The moment he arrives, he pulls a lightsaber and tries to pick a Kref, and then he's like, oh, shit, one of them's got me in a force choke, and I've got, like, 5 seconds to live.
Yeah, because this isn't just like, oh, I'm being choked. It's straight just turning the blood off in his head.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that is the Kref being relatively smart, being like, oh, you know, here's a fast way to kill a guy.
Hey, neat. I ain't even need to touch you. Yeah, I'll just go, you, stop it.
I'm just going to take the part of you that's marked on and switch it to off.
And, you know, it gets very close, but he does manage to eventually just shove.
He force vacuums everything around him. He's like, well, I can't pick a Kref. I don't know which one's doing it. I can't even see them anymore because my eyes are turned off.
My eyes turned off. My ears turned off.
Yeah, so I'm about to die. So he just grabs every living being within a couple meters of him and just pulls them all in. And immediately he senses which one is Leia because the force signature and just lets her drop. And then he's just still pulling the Krefs. And then whichever one is like, ah, shit, he's doing something, releases their hold on his neck.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, it's not exactly like they've got supreme control over their powers. Like, they're definitely good, mostly, I assume, because of the spirits possessing them.
Yeah. Well, they're like Jonas Rahm. Jonas Rahm was a competent bad guy Jedi. It's just that he was also an insane Mandalorian.
Yeah. So, I mean, like we said before, they have a whole thing back and forth where it's like, oh, and I lightning blast you, and a bit of me, like, chars off and then heals again. And,
but it's goopy now, yeah.
You know, I lightsaber a bit of you, and it doesn't matter because it grows back as, like, a sharp, pointy bit.
I do like that we get a brief pause after they blast their way clear from the fire and start going after the Krefs, where Han is explaining, or Leia's explaining to Han what happened with Bardoon. Or it's the other way around. He's like, look, there was an insane Jedi there was an insane Mandalorian they dragged in here, and he came out a dark Jedi. And she was like, really? A Mandalorian force user? Those are rare. And he's like, no, I don't think you're understanding what I'm laying down. They put him in here, not a force user, and he came out with a different name and a force user.
So you think he got possessed? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the theory.
Luke's neck has eyes.
Like, come on.
Do the math. Yeah. So that, I mean, at this point, they're desperately afraid that the Krefs are going to get out because they're clearly more force ghosts. So yeah, lightsabers versus lightning goes on for a little while. And then eventually, in a moment of desperation, Luke realizes that he could just shoot gold.
Mm-hmm.
He just blast gold rope all over everything.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Just blasting super sparkly golden energy on
down. I'm spangling,
down.
He says. That one's a connection to a movie mastery episode.
But yeah, there's a point where we get the point of view of Marvin and Kratheus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. When they're down and out, they've both been kind of, basically, they get force slammed. Marvin gets force slammed so hard that he just cannonades into Kratheus, and the two of them go flying for like 100 meters and slam into a ditch. And they immediately are standing up because they're being force healed super fast.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we go into their perspective for a second.
And Marvin's like, all right, we got to kill Skywalker here and now, because if we let him live, he'll just come after us, and he's the one thing that can threaten us while we have this ridiculous power.
Yeah.
And the spirits inside of them are like, no, no, you're idiots. Run, go, leave.
Well, even then, they're like, look, get out of here. It's not worth it. Just get out. Just get out. But if you have to kill one of them, go for Leia, because you can kill her, and it will distract Luke.
They're like, oh, you know what? If we 2v1 and just try and take out Leia, maybe that'll work.
But they don't
even
do that.
Then the ghosts are like, no, please, just leave.
Just leave.
Please leave.
And eventually, the Krefs, being super smart dumbasses, gets the better of them, because they're like, fine, Luke it is then.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing.
They're like,
even these nameless force ghosts are smarter than these two idiots.
And Luke sort of falls for the trick, almost,
because
he's like, oh, I know, I'll force pull these guys over here and then hit them with a thing. And they're like, oh, no, we'll let you. You can pull us over there because we're both just going to blow the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're both going to blow you the shit out of you.
So he force yanks them over to him to try and hit them with a lightsaber or something. He thinks they're unconscious and under his control. They are not. In the middle of the force pull, they both sort of
blast dark energy onto him.
They reorient themselves, reveal that they are actually under their own control, and start waving dark energy into him,
Yeah, it's no longer even like lightning. Force lightning. Yeah. It's just pure dark side energy.
Yeah, they're just shooting force darkness, and he's like, oh, shit. And he gets basically blasted out of existence.
Yeah.
Well, like, here's the problem. Like I was saying, this gets all psychedelic. I think he gets killed here, but then just sort of comes back.
Well, what happens is, while Luke gets blasted by the two of them with the force energy, they assumed that was going to murder him, but he managed to survive it because he's Luke Skywalker.
Yes, of course. You can't kill Luke Skywalker. I kept hoping that they would. I mean, it's the last chapter of the EU, and they knew that.
Huh.
Go ahead and kill Luke, see what everyone thinks.
But instead, they have a moment where they straight up, like, jaws open, go, what the fuck? And that gives Leia enough time to come behind them and blast them with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke just sort of watches as Leia gold blasts Marvid into ash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his flesh and bones just turn into smoking heaps.
Yep, yep.
He's like, huh, neat. So I guess I can do that too. And indeed he does to Kratheus.
Yep, just the two of them just sort of completely smokingly obliterate the two, so much so that there's nothing left to force heal.
And it is at that point that they have drawn on so much force energy that they essentially become
like
one
ghosts
with the force without having died yet.
Yeah, they Methuselah or whatever. They get
Elijah.
Enoch. They get transubstantiated into heaven without having to die. They get to jump the turnstile.
They get Elijah'd.
Mm-hmm, sure. Or Enoch'd. Same thing. It's the exact same thing.
It's the exact same
exact
thing.
Same thing. I mean, it's two different things. It's definitely two different, because the Bible is pretty inconsistent with the different tricks that God can do. So he does it to two different guys. It's just different ways each time.
So, yeah. And this is when Luke has his big wint moment where he's like, huh, you know what? There's no difference between good things and bad things. you idiot. You moron.
Yeah, he has a big moment where he stops and thinks about what the light. He's like, wait a minute. You need the dark side. Without the dark side, nice planets would get too nice. Galactic empires would last forever.
Yeah, because his whole thing is he's like, oh, it's not even that there's good and evil. There's just creation and destruction. And in order for new life to appear, there has to be death. Everything's connected in a circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
And
that makes a lot more sense in the EU's version of the Sith, where there aren't just two of them at any given time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense now, where there's like, if there could be hundreds of Sith, then sure, you need a bunch of them for, I guess, I bet Sith love it if you explain to them they basically do the same function as mushrooms.
I mean, at this point, Luke is like, oh, I get it. Sith users are like forest fires, and mm-hmm. that you need them so that the forest can continue to grow.
Yeah, controlled burns.
Yeah, and even the Jedi are only there to help heal that which is destroyed, because if you just let them hang out, they would stagnate.
Yeah,
because there would be nothing new to do.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, well, there you have it. That's why empires don't last forever, because Sith show up and ruin them. That's why Palpatine's empire only lasted like 25 years.
That's right. There's no good or bad, just the Force, baby.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, he's like, wait, am I dead? Is this the end of Luke Skywalker?
And then the end of chapter 25 is just Han going, what the fuck? As all of the weird, like, super powered nonsense that was going on is finally from Han's point of view, where he's just like, oh, I just saw like a DBZ fight and then everyone disappeared into light. I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah. No, it must have been a fun day for Han. I mean, think about poor Han, the non-force user who has now had to go for a meat swim and this.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, you have to remember, it has been less than, like, 2 hours since he was strapped to a chair with diodes all over him and needles in his brain.
Yeah.
Like, he's having a day.
He's had a rough time.
He's definitely having a go of it right now.
Plus, part of his stomach is still see-through.
Yeah, he's got a Wookiee leg.
You don't want that Wookiee leg.
Ugh.
That just sounds like a good Star Wars dance move.
Hmm.
Check it out. I'm doing the Wookiee leg.
Whip, nay-nay, and do the Wookiee leg.
Oh my gosh. All right, yeah, chapter 26 is basically the return.
Yeah. Now, Han's just by himself in this forest now, after a bunch of giant explosions happen.
Yeah, and he's like, ah, shit, is this how I go out? Am I immortal in a ghost forest? This fucking sucks.
He's like, I have no idea how I would be able to get out of here, because the only exit I could kind of see is a shimmering pool about, you know, 50 meters up, and I don't exactly have a jetpack or force powers, so I guess I just die here.
I mean, you don't have to, Han. Just cut chunks off your feet until you grow long pseudopods that are 50 meters high.
Just keep cutting your back until wings sprout or something.
Just random good luck will eventually be your friend, my friend.
Yeah, he gets all concerned and he's like, I'm going to die here. Or am I already dead here? Or am I still dead here?
Hmm.
Man, I don't even know what the fuck is going on. And
Hamlet sent us off to war, I think.
He gets real sad because he's like, oh, I guess Luke and Leia both just ascended into the Force. And on the third day, they'll rise again.
Yeah.
And he just kind of goes down to his knees and he's like, oh, Leia, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it's that little bit that manages to get Leia back.
Yeah, it draws her attention. She's like, oh, yeah, Han. And so out of the forest comes Leia, still glowing and ghosty, but also like 20 instead of, you know, what she actually is right now, which is like 62.
Yeah, because she was in the Force and just having a moment where she's like, I can't remember anything. Mm-hmm. Well, I was a person. Did I have family? It's all so distant now.
I like
that
he remembers her. He sees her. He's like, oh, shit, that's Leia vintage, specifically the carbonite freezing sequence. And not like, oh, well, Leia looked pretty much the same for like those 3 years.
Well, it's because that's what she says to him.
Right.
Like, she comes out and is like, Han, you look all fucked up. I didn't realize that was a side effect of carbonite freezing. And he's like, the hell?
No, it's a side effect of being married to Callista Flockhart and crashing a bunch of planes.
That's right.
Having to do movies with a CGI dog.
But yeah, she
I don't
hears...
give a fuck what a Force ghost is.
She hears Han say Leia, and that finally snaps her out of it to draw her back, but she doesn't have much.
Yeah.
Because she was losing all of her memory, she just reforms herself out of pure Force with basically what she still had, which is, like Jeff said, about up to Empire Strikes Back.
I'm glad that at least she's already managed to process the destruction of her home planet.
Yeah.
That's good, because you'd think if you're like, oh, she's Empire Strikes Back era Leia, she'd come up and be like, I am so fucking mad at Grand Moff Tarkin right now.
You have no idea how pissed I am.
I know he's already dead, but I'm so pissed off.
And Han has to just sort of do that. Let me remind you of,
hey, you remember when this happened?
Who you are.
Yeah. Well, it's nice because every time he reminds her of something, she just remembers it. There's no, it's just sort of uncovery.
He doesn't have to like grab her and shout, remember who you are. He just goes, hey, remember when we were on Endor? She's like, fuck yeah, I do remember that.
And it's the forest moon of Endor. And he's like, oh shit, okay, you're back. All right.
And then he was like, actually, it's just called Endor. It's it's fine.
That's a cheap cop-out for people who are tired of being called wrong, Han.
Yeah, but it's also canon, Leia. Because
they are wrong, Han.
all right, you're back.
So he reminds her about each thing in turn, about kids. And
as she remembers things, she ages to that memory.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's like, hey, you remember that time when we were like out and swimming around in Dintymore stew? And she's like, oh yeah, I do remember that. And she ages up to Crystal Star age.
Remember that time we went there, or one of us went to that super boring planet? Actually, I think it might have just been Luke. Went to that super ultra boring planet where nothing happened. And at the very end, you had to fight a hut.
You remember? You remember when there were bugs? You remember that?
And you got like bugs all up in your skin or whatever? It was like a nu metal song happened to you.
They were all crawling in your skin.
So each thing she remembers, there's a point where she has a wave of anguish because one of the memories is, remember when your son turned to the dark side and like your other son died and then your daughter had to kill your son?
Yeah, because that's the point where pretty much the memories are just coming back without even Han having to say, hey, remember this? She's just sort of getting them back faster. And as soon as she hits that, she's like, oh, sad times.
Yeah, and he's like, don't worry. You have a granddaughter that I've never heard of. Like, speaking myself, I've never heard of Alana or Alara.
Says Han, you have a granddaughter that I've never heard of.
I'm blanking on this one. Pass.
Oop. Phone a friend?
But no, this is news to me. I did not know that Jason had had a kid with a Hapen, and that is Alara, the daughter of Tenel Ka.
Yeah.
That's all news to me.
Apparently, Tenel Ka's got a daughter out there from Jason, and
she lives in
the rightful heir to the Empire.
Yeah, well, the Hapes Consortium, at the very least.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. And she's probably the next Malari Ush.
And so, you know, I think Leia's pretty much fully back at that point, because she even realizes, like, oh, I get it. You're trying to spare me all the pain because of the whole fresh memories of all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
We're cool. Fine
here.
Yeah, I never liked Jason anyway. No one did.
He was a dick.
Remember, he was a complete dick. He was, like, always yelling about how the Force is the only tool. He was the only tool.
You're for tools.
The ocean is cool and rad for winners.
Yeah. And, you know, Han's like, hey, so do we need to worry about the Krefs anymore? Or she's like, oh, no, we blasted them right the fuck to death.
Yeah, and then Luke comes spiraling out of the jungle, and he's like, so here's what happened. When we killed the Krefs, their shadows came out, and we killed those.
Like,
they're double killed.
The shadows needed a host to hold on to in order to have them regenerate. When we blasted them into ash, there was nothing for them to hold on to anymore. So they just sort of went away.
Now, they are technically ghosts that exist inside this monolith, so if any of us get any, like, physical cuts or anything, then maybe we'll get Kref infections. If you do, by the way, if you get a Kref infection, consult your doctor and ask for antibiotics.
I can't go into work. I've got a Kref infection.
That seems like it would work.
Hey, practice safe sex.
You know, like 70% of people who go to college dorms end up with a Kref infection.
I just love that Han and Leia are talking in this, and both of them have no idea what's going on, where Leia's like, so are we dead? And Han just goes, probably.
I don't know.
Yeah, I assume.
Honestly, the we have no idea what's going on is a runner I enjoy at the end of this book, even though normally that pisses me off in sci-fi stories. But at least in this point, they're all kind of cheerfully unaware of what's happening and uninterested.
Han's like, well, at least I've got Leia with me, so I think we're dead, but that's okay. And then Luke shows up and he's like, oh, God damn it. I was looking to spend eternity with my wife, not also my brother-in-law there.
Oh, hey, did you two need some privacy or something? Don't mind me. I'll just turn my back and think about not sex.
Don't worry. I'm one with the Force and can definitely feel what's going on. Thanks, Luke.
You know, my sister and I are a Force dyad, so it's like you're doing me, Han.
Did you need to? Yes.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm just a fount of useful information.
But yeah, this is the point where he's just like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get the fuck out of here. And at this point, Han and Leia can't even see the exit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of obscured by pure Force energy.
Yes.
And Luke's the only one who knows what the fuck is going on, because he is still full Saiyan mode.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, no, just, you know, take my hands and let's get going. Come on, everybody.
Hey, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to follow you. You're the Jedi Grandmaster. I figure that's the best chance I got.
I do appreciate Han being like, look, this is Jedi bullshit. I'm just going to follow the guy who's the best at it.
Look, I'm way too deep into this Jedi shit right now, so I got to get the fuck out.
No, pass. I'm blanking on this one. If it's not about cards or the Falcon, pass.
Hard pass.
Used to be three things, but someone hit my Wookiee with a moon. Now I don't even got a Wookiee leg. Because apparently at a certain point, when the Krefs die and Luke kind of goes Super Saiyan, the dumb healing stops, and now everyone's looking okay.
And that's when they have a little conversation before they leave, where they're like, hey, so I've been thinking, maybe we shouldn't be the protagonists anymore.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they have a moment where Luke's like, look, this is the thing, though. I don't want to do this again. This was...
I think it's time we take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I've just joined with the Force fully and come back from it and realized, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, they have the Rick and Morty crying in the car moment where they're just like, I can't anymore with the falling apart and coming back together.
Yeah, it's...
My daughter's married to a TIE fighter pilot. There's too much going.
Yeah, a lot of them are just kind of like, oh, yeah, nah. Luke, mostly because he's like, oh, I had that whole revelation about how good and evil doesn't exist. But I did have the revelation that there needs to be change. And as long as I continue to be the one in charge of everything, it's going to remain the same shit as it's always been. We have to step out so that things can progress.
Yeah, and Leia gets on board, and Han's like, well, I'll just do whatever Leia does, so whatever, fine.
It's like, but what if we get bored? And Leia's just like, well, fuck a lot. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll just get busy.
We will get so kinky. And Han's like, cool.
Oh, sweet. Can we do Kref stuff? No, we can't do Kref stuff. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, put all these pine cones in your butt.
Look, I had a weird revelation in the previous chapter that you and I need to discuss at length now.
Seeing Big Head Vistara really did something for me, and I'm sorry.
Can we get you some head extensions?
I'm just going to get you a big hat.
Look, I met another Leia recently, and I think it's time for us to open up our relationship to as many Leias as might have been created.
I think we should see other Leias.
Or Polylamus.
But yes, they finally decide, okay, sure, fuck it, we'll step aside, and then I guess Luke just force leaps them out?
Yeah, he just sees a shimmering hole in the sky and jumps into it. It's fine. Don't worry. It's all metaphysical. He's got that shit on lock.
Yeah.
So now they're at the bottom of a big hole on the planet, and Ben and Lando...
I mean, they're at the same place that Han was hiding out, that little balcony area.
Yeah. And Ben and Lando are looking down at them, and they're like, oh, look, they're in there now. We gotta get them out of there.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello, we're alive, the Krefts aren't.
We need to get off this thing right away and blow up every way to get to it.
Also, please blow up everything in this sector so that no one can come in here.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just dark side people, I mean anyone, because this is nonsense.
Yeah, well, apparently this thing is a natural feature, is the thing that, like, look, this thing's supposed to be here, it's where space comes from.
This is just... all the stuff?
Yeah.
This is all the stuff.
This is like the spigot in the bathtub of the universe, guys. And people shouldn't plug up the spigot with their dark side bullshit. So we need to just make sure that no one can get in here.
Because it doesn't matter. Light side, dark side, anyone who comes in here is just going to get weirdly fucked up.
But as they're leaving and they're playing to missile the crap out of everything in the area, they get a moment to discuss that, yeah, Vistara and Myrta Gev probably escaped together. But also... Ben just keeps asking Luke what the hell was in the monolith. He's like, so was that the Mortis?
He's like, I don't know. Maybe. Probably not.
I didn't see a guy named Mortis in there, so if that's the thing, then no. Is it a monolith? I don't know. Probably. Whatever. Hey. Who cares?
Who gives a shit?
Did you see Obi-Wan and Anakin in there? No. No, I did not.
No, not even once.
You know what? You got to quit asking me questions about the monolith.
Because I don't give a fuck anymore.
I feel like my t-shirt about the monolith is raising a lot of questions that have already been asked by my t-shirt.
And we also find out that Dina Yuss is still alive because she managed to get those chemicals she needed.
Yeah, she found the chemicals between us. Dina Yuss and Tahiri and Luke and Ben and all everybody who was on the ship, Omad, they're all fine.
Yeah.
There's only one YVH droid left, but it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. Thanks for asking.
And they're also like, probably we should take Dina Yuss to, you know,
justice.
Stand trial from the Jedi, because she did murder like 30,000 people.
Oh, who among us?
Certainly not Kip Duran.
Slap on the wrist. Well, I do appreciate that Luke's suggestion is, well, yeah, let's solve that. We'll take her to the Jedi Council and they can figure out what to do with her. And yeah, Kip Duran. Maybe not, Luke.
Yeah.
Maybe a real authority this time.
Maybe don't just be like, hey, there's this whole group of just real hippy-dippy idiots, and we're going to let them decide what to do with you. Oh, it turns out they decided, fuck it, we don't care? What do you know?
Well, does she have force powers? No, she doesn't. She's just like an administrator or something.
Oh, well, let's murder her.
Double death.
Super death. Put her in the Sun Crusher, too.
That one's just blast whatever's inside of it.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, so they decide that Dina Yuss is going to go stand trial. Plus, they Luke mentions during the epilogue, Master Kilgall's going to want to get a good look at this lady because she's a cool biot, and there might be more cool biots out there that have survived the Kref invasions.
Yeah, because either they might have gotten the recipe like she did for these chemicals, or the Krefs may have created a batch that didn't need them.
Yeah, and they may be out there doing insidious stuff even without the Krefs. So we need to definitely turn her over body and soul to Master Kilgall so he can just sort of, I don't know.
Break her down into her component parts.
If I didn't know who Master Kilgall was, I feel like if you don't know who Master Kilgall is, that sounds horrible.
We're going to take you and let Master Kilgall find out what is up with you. And you're like, ooh, don't.
Yeah, Kilgall's cool, though. He's a Moncal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They never did anything bad.
No, Mon Calamari could be evil. But you have a Die Sun Crusher Die tattoo.
The Sun Crusher, the.
Ooh.
Yeah, the epilogue is everybody over at the Red Ronto. And when I say everybody, I mean like Jaina and Jagged Fell are there.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever met Jagged Fell before.
We did.
Did we?
He showed up in that chapter where we were on the Jedi planet.
Also, just in this book. So we've not yet seen the marriage of Jaina and Jag.
No.
But Jagged Fell, as we mentioned before, one of the previous Dukes of the Empire, a cool TIE fighter ace who is now Jaina's husband.
Yeah, he's a sweet sniper guy.
Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, Omad Keg and Tahiri and I have to assume Ohali Serac.
Yeah.
She gets mentioned, but we still never find out what her big plan was.
No.
She just hid in goop.
I was assuming that maybe the epilogue would be like, oh yeah, Ohali did a bunch of stuff. But no, she just hid in a goop vat. That's it.
Profit.
So, yeah, step three, profit.
Here's what I kind of wish had happened. Was the epilogue was just like, all right, well, Luke and Leia and everybody.
Everyone's talking about what they're going to do, and then they go, oh, shit, oh, we forgot Ohali.
Oh, fuck. And then they've blasted base prime to rubble, and there's just a goop vat sitting there, and she comes popping out with a lightsaber like, yeah, guys. Oh, shit.
God damn it.
Instead, her plan goes nowhere, and she's just at dinner with everybody
else. It's just, at that point, Troy Denning was like, I didn't care anymore, and you didn't either.
This is, the epilogue is where that discussion about what was in the monolith is happening, and it's great, because it's Ben just grilling Luke over and over again, not just about what's in the monolith, but like, are you retiring? Really retiring? Really, really retiring?
Because if you're actually saying you're retiring, but going after Vistara, I will nut punch you, Dad.
Yeah, he's grumpy about that. But the whole time, every time he starts another line of conversation, you can see Lando in the background trying to raise a cup to toast.
Yeah, he's like, and someone else goes, hey, so I had a question. He's like, motherfucker.
I will get this toast down. God damn it, I've been clinking this glass with a spoon for an hour.
And then finally Ben finishes and he's like, sorry, Lando, you can go ahead. And he's like, okay, and then gets immediately interrupted by someone else.
Yeah, it's someone asking him a question. I think it's Tahiri or it's Jaina. Jaina's asking Lando a question. She's like, are you also going to retire, Lando?
Like, the fuck?
No.
No. My entire reason for living is doing dumb bullshit mining operations. Clearly, I'm going to come back here.
I'm going to go home, bang my rad wife, the Corellian, Tendra Rassant.
Say hi to my kid, Chance.
Uh-huh, and then I'm going to come right back here and get the Sarnas operation up and running again. I didn't go into a big ghost fight. I'm not an idiot.
I don't have any weird hang-ups about going full Akira or anything, so I'm fine.
Yeah, I don't have to be a part of this. Anyway, fucking whatever. To everybody's health or something.
All right, great, thanks. To good friends. And fucking Jaina just goes, what? That's it? You've been trying to make a toast for an hour now. And he's like, yeah, I don't even remember what the fuck I was going to say. Whatever. Good friends and good times. Is that better?
I just want a drink. Is that so much to ask, Jaina?
So thirsty.
This is just iced tea, Jaina. I'm 82.
I just love that at the end when he's finally like, sure, whatever. To good friends, good times, and new journeys. Everyone clinks their glasses and takes a drink. And then Luke has to stand up and go, oh, to new journeys, and may the Force be with us all. Ha ha, upstaged, I'm the protagonist, go fuck yourself.
And may the Force be with us, everyone. Thanks, Tiny Luke. And that's it. That's the end of the expanded universe.
That's right. The end of the expanded universe is, I guess, our main protagonists are going to go retire.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they had died.
I wish they had. At least Luke. I was really hoping that they'd kill Luke in this. Probably Leia as well.
I mean,
I like the idea of Han being left with nobody. Like, by the time he finally gets out of the thing, it's like, oh, Han, you've been rescued. Congratulations. By the way, while you were gone, Jaina died. She flew a ship right into your granddaughter. They both exploded.
Weird, right? Yeah. Anyway.
All right, have a good one.
Bye. I took a dump in the Falcon. Not in the bathroom. I pooped in a secret place.
It's the Falcon. It's not a very well-kept secret. But no, everybody lives and everybody's happy. Even Dina Yus, who they still talk about in the epilogue about how she has to go stand trial or whatever. And they're like, it doesn't make sense because she didn't really have free will or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, she didn't actually murder them. She was just sort of an accessory to murder.
Yeah. Well, you know what that means for the Jedi. That means they're going to train her to be a Jedi Knight.
Yeah. Well, great.
Yay. Well, there you have it, folks. That is the end of Crucible. And by extension, the end of the EU.
That's right. We're done.
We're done. Well, not the EU, the expounded universe. Our show shall carry on.
Aw, damn it.
It's just that now it's going to be about X-Men novels.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. It's Star Wars.
Boo.
It's Star Wars forever.
Boo.
Now it's double Star Wars.
Two times the Star Wars. We're reading two Star Wars novels at once.
And they're not connected. Yeah, so we'll be back in a few weeks with yet more Star Wars content, but in the interim, not only do we have our usual bonus content, which of course you can find at patreon.com/systemmastery, but also we will be doing our next episode will be a wrap-up, where we just answer questions and talk about what we thought about this book in general.
Yep, we always do the end-of-season wrap-up,
yep.
And if you want to ask us questions, the best way to get those answered in the wrap-up episode is go to our Discord. You can find a link to that real easy by just going to our Twitter at System Mastery. It's pinned. And go into our Expounded Universe chat room and just put hashtag Crucible and whatever your question is. That way we can search for it.
Uh-huh. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us and ask us those questions, which we are looking forward to because that makes up a big chunk of those epilogue episodes. We will also, of course, be announcing the next book.
Yes, you'll find out what's coming up.
Mm-hmm. So get stoked for that, and we will see you real soon with that extra bonus content. Again, patreon.com/systemmastery. That's the $2 level. Completely worth it. We go to Wikipedia. We find stories. We tell them to each other and to you. I think we're done here.
That's right.
We are done. So in that case,
I am done here.
You're very done.
I am done professionally.
John's done professionally, and I'm Elan Sleaze Boggiano, and I
am done professionally. We'll be right back.